Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Good to be with you this morning. I really do feel honored to be here. I look around, I see cousins, and I see aunts, and I see friends, and I thank God I don't see any enemies. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hey, before I get rolling here too much, I would like to honor our veterans. I love our country. Anybody else love our country? Oh, yeah. I love the great United States of America. We have our problems, but we're still the best place on the planet to live. And I thank God that by His grace that I was born here. If we have any veterans here this morning, would you please stand? I'd like to honor you. And yes. Take a good look around. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I always try to recognize veterans whenever we're out in public. I also like to recognize police officers and give them a thank you. I may have told this last time I was here, I don't remember, but I was over at McAllister's 1 year, and the Lord had laid it on my heart that whenever we was in a restaurant, if a police officer come in, I was to buy his meal. And so we go in, and there's two sheriff officers in there. And so I bought their meal. And then the next thing I know, another one walks in. And then another one walks in. And another one walks in. By the time they're done, there's 9 police officers. They decide to have a convention at McAllister's that day, and I bought lunch for all of them. And I just think I was thankful I was able to do that. But I think it's good for us to show appreciation and honor those ones who deserve honor. Amen. Hey, John, did you notice my reflexes on when she threw that mic? Man, I still got it, buddy. Hey, anybody getting older in here besides me? Okay. I had my 50th class reunion this year. I don't know how that happened in 25 years, but had my 50th class reunion. We had a wagon that was all decorated up, and we had it in the James Dean Parade and just had a really good time. And we had our banquet at Eventfully Yours. And so that evening, as we were there, There's this scripture that I wanted to show here, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. It says, "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." You know that scripture? It's not good for us to compare. But how can you go to a class reunion and not do that? So here I am at this class reunion. There's one guy in my class, he had gained 100 pounds. And he was making me feel real good about my 40. And not only that, but he was walking across the floor, this open floor area, the same time I was walking across the floor. I was coming one direction, he's coming the other. And man, he's walking along and he's hobbling along like this. And I'm walking pretty good and I'm thinking, man, he's in bad shape. And all of a sudden, it was like a knife went through my knee. And all of a sudden, I was going, and I looked over and I'm walking just like he is. So it's not wise to compare yourselves to yourselves or to compare yourselves to others. Because what does the devil do with something like that? He's always going to make you feel like that you are inferior, or he's going to make you feel like that you're superior. You're never going to have that feeling that just camaraderie and love. You're always going to be one or the other because the devil will always shove you one direction or the other. And so we must be sure that we're just not doing that. We just love everybody wherever they're at. Amen? And so, as we're going through life, let's not compare ourselves to anyone else, but let's just be all that we can be for Christ Jesus. So what does that have today do with today's message? Not much. I just wanted to tell you that story. As I said, I do love our great country of the United States of America. I'm very concerned for her. We have some extremely troubling things going on today, and it lies much further than just Washington, D.C. And, you know, just when you think that things can't get any more bizarre, something more bizarre seems to take place. And there's one guy who said this. He said, sarcasm is getting more and more difficult to do because no sooner do you say something sarcastic, it comes true. And that does seem to be the world that we're living in today. I mean, it's just crazy. I suppose you've heard about the new campus chaplain at Harvard University. Harvard University recently just hired a new campus chaplain, and this chaplain is an atheist. The word atheist and campus chaplain don't even go in the same sentence, do they? But that's just how bizarre things are getting. When John Harvard founded Harvard University in 1636, their slogan was and still is trust or truth for Christ and the church. Do you know all the Ivy League schools were founded on biblical principles? And now we have had our first Ivy League school, Harvard University, who hires a chaplain and he's an atheist. These are the things we are contending with in a world that seems to have gone mad. What a tremendous time for us to let our light shine. What a tremendous time for us to rise up and show the world what the body of Christ should be doing. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, I don't have it on the overhead. In fact, several scriptures here I don't have on the overhead, and then we'll get into my study. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Are you worried about things that are going on in the world? I use the word concerned. I don't know if that's skirting the issue or not, but I am trying not to worry about things that are going on in the world. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. Isn't that an interesting statement? Because who wrote that verse? That was Peter who wrote that verse, and he's the one who was in the boat whenever the storm came up and they were sinking, and Jesus was taking a nap. You remember that story? Peter runs over to Jesus, and he wakes him up, and he says, do you not care that we perish? A few years later, Peter writes, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He learned the lesson. And I hope you've learned the lesson, or you are learning the lesson, that you can cast all of your cares upon Him and He will care for you. We should not be anxious. We should not be fearful. We should not be fretting what is going on in the world today, but we do need to rise up and take a stand, and we need to stand for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's three things that we must do as believers in today's world. One is pray. Two is study the Word of God. And three is to worship. I appreciated worship this morning. Thank you. We need to be the best worshipers this world has seen, because God is worthy. And regardless of what you're going through, God is worthy to be praised. Regardless of what you're experiencing, do not base your response or your lack of response according to your circumstances. Man, God is worthy to be praised, and we need to be people who praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to be people of prayer. We have to be. It seems like that's one of the most difficult things for us as believers to do, is to pray. But man, we need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. We need to be on our face, and we need to be asking for His goodness and His grace upon everything that we think, do, and say. But we also just need to be just in prayer and in worship of just who He is. And we have to be people who know how to pray. And then we have to be people who study His Word. I hope you're a person who studies the Word of God. I hope that just Sunday morning is not the only time that you hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I listen to podcasts. I listen to preaching all the time. I have a headset that I wear when I'm mowing or whenever I'm just going down the road. I'm listening to the Word because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we need to know His Word and understand His Word, but you can't do that unless you're in His Word. And so I'm just really, this morning, I'm especially going to challenge you to be in the Word of God. There's a health food store over Kokomo called the Sunspot, and maybe you've been there. And I went in there one day and I said, hey, I know this person who's struggling with high blood pressure and cholesterol. And I said, what do you have for that? She said, she handed me a paper on exercise. And then she handed me another paper on proper diet. And I said, no, you misunderstood my question. I'm looking for a pill. Oh, she said, oh, it's you, huh? Isn't that what we do? Just give me a pill to take care of this problem. Well, we find that in the Christian walk as well. People will come into my office and they want marriage counsel. And I'll say, well, how's your prayer life? I try to get there, but, time's really tough. A lot of pressure. How's your study of the Word? Well, we have excuses. What they're wanting me to do, especially like, say, the woman, she's wanting me to fix him, right? He's wanting me to show her how that he's right. I'm thinking, no, let's first, we may have to deal with some of those things. We may have to show her some things. We may have to show you some things. But let's first get you in the right spot. And in the right spot is to be in prayer, to be in the study of the Word, and to be a person of worship. And if we can get those three things into every individual, I'll guarantee you a lot of divorce would disappear. A lot of problems in this world would disappear. And we have to understand His Word. We have to get in His Word. We can't just look for a quick, easy fix. So there needs to be a desire on the inside of us that is just burning for the things of God. So this morning we're going to study a little bit. We'll look at the importance of God's Word, the importance of our words. Then we'll look at a story in the Word and glean some things from that. These next few scriptures, once again, are not going to be on the overhead. The importance of the Word of God. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and with Him nothing was made that was made. That was in one of our songs this morning, that very thing. And how did God make the words, the world? He spoke the Word. Let it be. Let there be light. He created everything with His Word. And so that's how important the Word is. And then it jumps to verse 14 and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then in Hebrews 1 and verse 3, it says, Hebrews 1, 3 tells us that He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now normally we would say that He upholds everything by the power of His Word. But here it says He upholds all things by the Word of His power. That's telling us that His power is so incredible, but how is it instigated? It's instigated by His Word. It's the Word of His power. And so you and I, if we want to ever begin to operate in the Word of the Lord, or in the power of the Lord, we have to know His Word. Amen? Yes, we have to know it. So then we are also instructed on how powerful that our words are. And that's a reason that we need to line our words up with His. I try to speak the Word as much as I can. And to, whenever I respond, I want to respond with the Word of God in mind. And so we have to know His Word. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." I just love to be able to speak His Word because it speaks life. Some people say, "I don't really know what to pray." Pray His Word. "I don't know what to say." Say His Word. Hallelujah. Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. So how do I pray? Say it's a financial need. Pray in agreement with God's Word. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus if you have a financial need. That's Philippians 4:19. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's Psalm 50, verse 10. "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." Psalm 37:25. And see, whenever you get into whatever situation you're in, find a scripture that goes along with that and stand on it and claim it, because His Word will not return void. It will accomplish what He sent it out to do. Matthew 12 and verse 37 says, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And so, there again, it's just so important that we line our words up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right, let's do a little Bible study this morning in the time we have left. Let's look at something here that's probably familiar to most of you. It's a verse or a phrase, at least I think you'd probably have heard of. And we have it here on John 8 and verse 12. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" As I mentioned before, what a tremendous time for us in this dark world for us to let our light shine, for us to be a beaming light in such a dark scenario that seems to be going on. So most of you probably have heard this, where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But context is king whenever you are studying the Word of God. Context is king. So have you ever thought about what context that Jesus said this in? This might surprise you. We have to start out at verse 1. John 8, and start out at verse 1. It says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives." Now that statement there is important. We have to, in a Bible study, why did Jesus say, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives"? Because if you go back to chapter 7 and verse 1, it says this: "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill Him." And then it says, "But He went to the Mount of Olives." He was walking in Galilee, which is in the northern part of Israel, and then there's Samaria in between, and then southern Israel is Judea. He was in the northern region because people were trying to kill Him. But then the Feast of Tabernacles was about to come. And so He sent His disciples on. And then He came in kind of incognito for a little while so that people wouldn't be after Him. But then He just couldn't help Himself. He had to go to the synagogue. And that's verse 2. It says, "Now early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery." This is the story, this is the context in which Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." She is caught in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Now, how many of you have also wondered, where's the guy? Where's the guy at? They just brought the woman in. Well, you know, it's because the scribes and the Pharisees were men's groups. And it could be that the guy was one of them. I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say. But I think it's interesting that just the woman was brought in. They're trying to make a point. They're trying to make a statement. In verse 5, it says, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" And these weren't just little driveway stones. These were stones like this that were hurled at a person. And as soon as one knocked them unconscious, and then they would keep pelting them with these until the person was entirely covered in stones, and they left them there in a grave of stone. So that is pretty serious stuff. "This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. But when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.' And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." Here you have several people, don't know how many, but several, who are ready to begin to do what the Levitical law said, if they're caught in adultery, to stone them. Jesus said, "He who has no sin, you be the first one." I don't know if Jesus was writing down in the dirt some of the sins of those guys. I don't know. But do you know what anger and resentment and vengeance sounds like when somebody realizes they're wrong? You know what it sounds like to see the grace of God, to be standing condemned, but to be released. Do you know what it sounds like? Oh, the sound of grace, the act of mercy, the love of a father, the forgiveness of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. But he casts my sins as far as the east is from the west. Though they be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Oh, the sound of grace. Let's read once again. "Then those who heard it, being convicted." Let's drop to verse 11. Or verse 10, "When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, 'Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?' She said, 'No one, Lord.' Jesus said to her, 'Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more.'" Now, I want to take a moment here. And I want to say there's probably some people here this morning. You have to learn to discern and understand the difference between condemnation and conviction. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." But you know who the devil is? The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to condemn us. And some people, whenever they're going through their stuff, they even receive from other people condemnation. Romans 12:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." You are no longer condemned. And I don't know what maybe somebody here this morning is dealing with, but would you please know that you are not condemned? Now, you have to understand conviction. I'll be convicted of things I'm doing wrong. I don't do everything right. I don't always say what I should say the way I should say it. I don't always act like I should. I'm going to receive conviction on those things, but I will not allow the devil to convict me. Jesus has set me free. So if you're dealing with something here this morning, please know the difference between conviction and condemnation, because there is no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, once again he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now, he wasn't just letting her off scot-free. He was saying, "Go and sin no more." How's she going to do that? She's going to have a life in Christ. Hallelujah. Then Jesus... Here, and then we have our verse that we started out with. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light." Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," after dealing with this situation with the adulterous woman? What is he saying to us here? He's exemplifying to us that, hey, in whatever the situation is, bring life to that situation, not death. Bring release and bring freedom and not bondage. Bring salvation instead of condemnation. Bring light instead of darkness into whatever situation you're dealing with. Because so many times I know I get into situations, I want to respond. And I want to make sure that I'm right and that people know that I'm right. I want to defend myself or defend my wife or whatever. Rather than doing that, how can we bring light into every situation? That's what Jesus is saying here. You can do that. And you know how we do that is because in another verse, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." He says, "I'm the light of the world, but now you are the light of the world." Why? How are you and I the light of the world? Because Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Will you allow your light to shine out here in a dark world? And you know, your light does not shine because you're so beautiful, because you're so handsome, because you're so nice, because you're so caring. That is not how your... It's good to have all that stuff, but that's not how your light shines. Your light shines because you have Christ in you. And we have to allow the world to see how the Christ in me has made a difference. And I want to be a world changer because of Christ in me. Hallelujah. John 15 and verse 7 says this. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." It says, if you abide in me. That's not just coming to church on Sunday mornings. That's not just opening your Bible once in a great while. That's not singing songs on Sunday morning. That abiding as you're living there. You see, Jesus wants a habitation, not just a visitation. He doesn't just want you to visit him every now and then. He wants you to abide in him. He wants you to live there all the time. Be in his word. Study of his word. Prayer. Worship. Abide. Have a habitation in him. You know, I think we have some pretty tough times coming ahead. And I'm not being a pessimist. I really don't think I am. I don't want to be negative either. I think we've got some tough times ahead. But I think it will be the greatest time for the church that we've ever seen. I think we're going to see revival like never before. We're going to see people. I'm already seeing it. There's a hunger out there. There are some people, there's always going to be people who are naysayers and don't want anything to do with it. But there's also a hunger among a lot of people. And they want to hear about the goodness of God. They want to hear about the salvation of Jesus Christ. I think we have some great days ahead of us. And I'm asking you, will you get in the Word, get into prayer, get into worship, and let your light so shine among a world that is in a desperate need of a Savior. Amen. Father, we bless you today. I thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you love us. You've died for us. You've sacrificed so greatly for our sin. You've removed it from us. And Lord, now you shine through us. We have to allow you to shine. We have to speak up. Lord, I pray that we would be a bold people that will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but will rise up and be a shining light for the kingdom. Don't hide our light under a basket. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to tack on this one last thing. Thank you for loving our family well. Brock and Alyssa and the kids, you love them well. And Jackie and I appreciate it. Jackie would have been with me this morning, but she had duties at Harmony. But once again, thank you for all you do for the Meyer family. God bless.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.